In our study of Psalm 119, we now come to Ayin, verses 21 through, or 121 to 128. Asiti mishpat vatzedek, bal tanicheni leosh kai. Notice leosh kai. Notice asiti. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not let me, or do not leave me, to my oppressors, or to those that would oppress me. Notice asiti is from the root asa, to do. It is a cow perfect, first common singular, with the T affix, making it a first common singular, and the root is a lamed he, that historically was, again, a lamed yod root, and that's why that yod reappears in this form after the scene. So, I have done mishpat, justice. I've been fair, and mishpat is a noun, and ve is va is the conjunction, and tzedek is the noun meaning righteousness. So basically, these two qualities form the basis of what the Lord is. And what he's really saying here is, these have been the things that I have done. I have tried to do what is just, and I have tried to do what is right. So, bal, do not leave me. Bal is the adverb, negative adverb, followed by tanicheni, the verb from nuach. It's a middle weak verb. And notice we have an ai vowel pattern. So we have a hifil, imperfect, second masculine singular from nuach, and the A-I vowel pattern gives it away, and then we have the pronominal suffix E, meaning me, first common singular. So do not leave me le-oshikai, to my oppressors. Notice the lamed is an inseparable use of the lamed here. The preposition, and oshikai is from ashak, and it means to oppress. And notice we have an O-class vowel, which is indicating a participle. Actually, the O, the holam over the sheen, indicates both a sheen and a participle. And then we have I for the suffix, first common singular pronominal suffix, that's put on a plural noun, or in this case, a plural masculine participial construction. So, do not leave me to those that oppress me, to my oppressors. So he's asking the Lord to honor his justice that he has done, and his righteousness, and not to leave him with his oppressors, those that would do hurt or harm. Help me to be rescued from that. Those that might do harm to me and oppress me, I believe is what the psalmist is saying. Then in 122, he continues, Arov abdecha letov, al ya'ash kuni zedim. Notice, Arov is from the root Arav. It means to be surety for. And that is to let someone know that you are going to take a pledge on someone's behalf. And so be a surety is what the psalmist is saying. And notice the form here, aro, is a cow imperative, second masculine singular from arov, And instead of the simple Shiva, we have a Hatef Pathak, a hurried Shiva, which becomes a hurried Pathak because of the ayin. And then the O-class vowel, giving it away as an imperative, cal imperative. So be surety, for is understood here, your servant. Abdecha is from the noun evad, meaning servant. And notice it's in construct with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So be a surety, for your servant is what the psalmist is asking of the Lord here. Take a pledge that you'll really help me and stand, in a sense, for me and for my welfare. That you'll take a stand, that you'll guarantee my help, is what he's really saying. So be a surety for your servant, letov, for good. The lamed is a preposition, inseparable, followed by the adjective tov, meaning good. So be a surety for your servant for good. Al ya'ashkuni zedim. Do not let the proud oppress me. Notice al is an adverb of negation, meaning not, and ya ashkuni is from the root ashak, meaning to oppress. It is a cal imperfect third common plural. The kibbutz gives it away as a third common plural. Ya ashkuni, and then we have the pronominal suffix in the e with the helping consonant or the hinge taking us to the final pronominal suffix. So do not let the proud oppress me. Zedim is from the root zed, meaning insolent, one that is insolent or presumptuous or proud. And it's an adjective, proud ones, and notice the im makes it a masculine plural. So do not let the proud ones oppress me. Let not, and as he goes on, what he's really praying for here is he's asking the Lord to be a surety for him, to take a pledge that he would guarantee his help. His help for good, and he wants again the Lord to protect him from those that are insolent and proud, that they would not oppress him. So he's praying for protection from the oppressor. And then as we move on to verse 23, the psalmist continues, Einai kalu lishuatecha uleimrat sidkecha. My eyes fail for your salvation and for your righteous word, or your word of righteousness. Notice, einai is from the noun einayim, meaning eye. And notice it's dual, but here it is, the dual becomes a plural in construct with the pathak yod, pronominal suffix, first common singular, and the ain is in construct to that from ayin. So the eyes, or my eyes, kalu. Kalu means to come to an end from kala. It's the kal, a perfect, third common plural from kala. The lamed hay, it's a lamed hay verb. The hay has elided or dropped out. And we have the u showing that we're looking at a third common plural affix or ending. And the verb means, in the cal, to come to an end. And so a good way to translate it would be, my eyes are coming to an end or failing for your salvation. In other words, I want to see it so badly that my eyes are failing because I've been looking for it, and I just so badly want to see it. I think that's the idea. Lishuatecha, for your salvation. Le is the inseparable preposition. Yeshua means salvation. And notice, Yeshua, when you put the lamed before it, changes to a hirik yod. For your salvation. And notice, the ta puts it in construct. Yeshua becoming Yeshuat. And then the ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So my eyes are failing, as it were, for your salvation. In other words, I keep looking, and I just want to see it so badly, I believe is his point. And for your righteous word. U is just your conjunction. Vele, the ve changes to a shurik in the context here of the lamed with the shaba. The lamed is simply the inseparable preposition, and imrat is from imra, which means word, and it's in construct, a noun in construct, feminine singular, with tzidkecha. Tzidkecha is from tzedek, meaning righteousness, and cha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So for the word of your righteousness, or for your righteous word. In other words, God is righteous, and the psalmist is pleading to the Lord that he will honor, his word tells him that he is righteous, that he will honor his word and bring help and salvation to him at this time. It is interesting that in life, the Lord promises to keep those that love him. And he promises to have timely help. Actually, the book of Hebrews talks about help in a timely manner. And so here we have this encouragement on the part of the psalmist saying that my eyes keep almost come to an end. I've been looking so intently for your salvation. And for your righteous word, that is your word that brings righteousness and deliverance to me. So I keep waiting for it. As we go on, in 124, the psalmist continues, Ase im abdecha chechasdecha, v'hukecha lamedeni. That is, deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. Notice, ase is again from the root asa, meaning to do. And here we could translate do with your servant. Deal would be a fair way of rendering it. Notice, it is the cow imperative, second masculine singular from asa. Im is the preposition with, and abdecha is from the noun evet, servant, and notice in construct it becomes abd, and ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. It's a segulate noun, and the pattern that we see here is the double segulates change to a pathak in a closed syllable. In this kind of a context where it's in construct with the pronominal suffix. An example would be to take the word melek, and if you wanted to say my king, it would be malki, my king. So meleki becomes malki. And it's the same idea here, double segulate changing to a pathak and a closed syllable in of and then decha. So do with your servant according to, notice che is the preposition, and chasdecha is from the noun chesed, meaning God's covenant loyalty. And ha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So deal or do with your servant according to your mercy, your covenant loyalty, and teach me, v'chukecha, your statutes. Notice ve is just the conjunction, and the noun is chok, but in the plural again, it becomes chukeh, and the segol yod makes it a masculine plural noun in construct with cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your statutes, your engraved, permanent statutes that are permanentized, like etched in stone. Lamadeni, teach me. Lamadeni is from the root lamad, to teach. And notice, we have a pathak and the doubling of the middle radical in the mem, which is a giveaway here of a PL stem. So this is a PL, second masculine singular from Lamad, and the E is the pronominal suffix, first common singular. The Tseri Nun is the hinge that takes us to the E. So your statutes teach me. And so notice what he's really saying here. He wants the Lord to deal with him according to his mercy, according to his covenant loyalty. And as a result, he asks that the Lord would teach him his statutes, your statutes. One of the things that we can pray for as Christians is that the Lord would deal with us according to his mercy, according to his covenant loyalty, and that he would teach us his permanent statutes, his permanent laws, and what he's etched in stone, as it were, especially in the Lord's inerrant word. One of the most important things that we pray for is that the Lord will teach us the Holy Spirit. For a Christian who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior lives inside and becomes our teacher. And so one of our prayers should be that the Lord would teach us his statutes and that he would be our teacher, that we would learn. Jesus would say in the Upper Room Discourse that I'm going to send the Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. In the that great Upper Room Discourse. And so this is what we continue to pray for and join the psalmist in that prayer. And then he goes on in 125, Abdecha ani havineni ve'eda'a edotecha. I am your servant, give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. Notice Abdecha is from the noun Evad again. And this double segel, it changes to abd in construct with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. And then ani is just the personal pronoun, first person. So your servant, I am, understood. And notice, havineni is from the root bin. It's a middle weak verb with a yod as the middle as the middle vowel that's now there. So teach me. And notice the hey gives it away as a hifil. So it's a hifil imperative, second masculine singular from being, again with the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So give me understanding is really what he's saying, because I am your servant. And he wants understanding that I may know your testimonies. Ve is the conjunction, and here it's used in a purposeful way, a conjunction of purpose, I believe, in order that. Eda'a is from the word yada, or verb yada. Notice the yod, it's a pe-yod verb, has dropped out. And what we have here is compensatory lengthening. Under the Aleph, historically, this was a pe-vav verb. And remember, these pe-vav verbs, when you have them in a form like this, the vav elides. And what we have, they became yods, but those verbs elide in the yod, the first consonant, or the first consonant of the verb. And we have compensatory lengthening from a herik to a tseri. So that I may know, and it's a kal imperfect, emphatic, first person singular from yada, edotecha. Edotecha is from eda, meaning testimony. And notice it becomes feminine plural in ot. And then we have the segol yod, which shows us that we're looking at a feminine plural noun in construct again with ha, the pronominal suffix second masculine singular. So what he's really asking for, I'm your servant, so give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. He wants to be a faithful servant to the Lord. And the way to be that is to have understanding as to what the Master wants. And so he's asking the Lord to give him understanding that he might know his testimonies, what he has witnessed in terms of how we are to conduct our lives. And that should always be our prayer. We are the bond slave of the Lord. Paul uses the idea of a doulos. He's a bond slave. And he wants understanding that he can know the power of the resurrection, that he can share in the fellowship of the suffering of Christ, that he'll know experientially what the Lord wants him to do. And that should be our desires as believers who are seeking to follow Jesus Christ, applying this great text to the New Testament and how it's applied, how that concept of being the servant and hence knowing the Lord's testimonies in an intimate way is something that I believe we see both here and in the New Testament. And then in 126, he says, Eit la'asot la'adonai, Heferu Toratecha. It is time. Eight is a noun that means time. La'asot is from the root asa, meaning to do. And notice with the lamet prefix, it is an infinitive, a kal infinitive construct from asa. And asa becomes asot in this construct form. So it is time to do for the Lord. Lamed is that lamed preposition that is attached to yod hey vav hey. So it is time for the Lord to work. And then he goes on to say, they have made void, or they break, heferu toratecha. They break your Torah. Heferu is from the root farar. The middle radical repeats itself, and it means to break or to frustrate. And notice the hay with the tseri indicates a hifil here. They make void or they cause to break. So it's simply the hifil perfect third common plural from farar. They break Toratecha, your Torah. Toratecha is from the noun Torah, and it's in construct with Cha, your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So notice he's saying, it's time to work, for they break your Torah. And I think he's looking at the judgment that the Lord would bring upon those who abrogate, who break, and who destroy, who frustrate his teaching, his instruction. And I think that's what he's looking at. He's looking, no doubt, at the judgment that the Lord would bring upon those who would purposely break the Lord's Torah. And, of course, at the final judgment, we will all be judged according to our faithfulness to his word. I'm reminded where Jesus in Matthew 25 says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. That was a commandment that he gave in Isaiah, the way we're to treat those that are hungry and those that are in need. And that will be an indication of whether we really know the Lord in a personal way. So we don't want to break his instruction. We want to keep it, that we will not have to face a negative judgment from the Lord someday. And so the psalmist is speaking these words that actually become a challenge to us even today as we seek to obey the Lord's word and not break it in any way. Then he goes on in 127, Al kein ahavti mitzvotecha miza'av u'mipaz. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, indeed than fine gold. Al-Kain is your adverb, therefore, or wherefore. Ahavti is the cow perfect first common singular from Ahav. I love, mitzvotecha is from mitzvah in the singular. And notice the oath makes it a feminine plural. And the eh, the tsegol yod, puts it in construct then with cha, again the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So wherefore I love your commandments above more than gold. The min here is the preposition with the nun assimilating into the zayin. So we have a dogish forte showing that assimilation. And the za'av is a noun that means gold. And notice the use of the min here is a comparative use. More than gold. In other words, I love your commandments more than gold. Above gold. It's more precious than gold. The same theme is found in Psalm 19. And these are twin psalms relative to the Torah and how wonderful it is. More precious than gold. U-mipaz, and, or yay, u here, is a conjunction that we could translate indeed, or yay, more than. Here we again have that comparative use of the min, with the nun assimilating into the pay. We see the dogish forte here. And so, more than paz is a noun that means refined, pure gold. So it's refined gold, which is the purest kind. What a beautiful text. He says, I love your commandments, even above gold, even in fine gold. And today, we live in a day and time where we often give more attention to money than to the Lord. And I believe what the text is saying, he loves his word more than gold, than fine gold. And that's how precious it is. And so we need to love the Lord's word. We need to love the Torah and want to spend time in it all of our days, because it's more valuable than even refined gold, which is the highest type of gold you could ever find. The word is more valuable than that. And isn't it sad often that we don't really uplift it for its value? It is indeed, every word is a treasure house of the Lord's word, the psalmist is saying. And therefore he concludes this section in 128, Al Kain kol pikudei chol yisharti, kol orach sheker saneti. Therefore, notice Al Kain is the adverb here, therefore, all the precepts. Kol is the noun meaning the totality of the precepts of all things understood. Notice pikudei is from the noun pikud, meaning precept. And here it's in the masculine plural suffix, or excuse me, masculine plural construct with the tseriyot. So all the precepts of all, and probably we can supply all things, or the totality of things, he's going to esteem. Yesharti. Yesharti is from the root yeshar, and here it is a PL, perfect, first common singular from yashar. Notice the I class vowel, doubling of the sheen, putting it in the PL stem, with the affix or the suffix T, making it a first common singular pronominal affix. So, wherefore, all the precepts of all, in other words, your total precepts, I approve, or I esteem right. Yashar means to esteem right or approve. In other words, I love them, and therefore I esteem them, all of your precepts, the totality of them, I esteem. But in the contrast, Baal, or Kol, Orach Sheker, Saneti, every false way, every way of falsehood, notice we have the adjective Kol, Orach, meaning way or path, Sheker means that which is false, that which is untrue. So every way of falseness, or every false way, saneti, I hate. Notice saneti is from sane, to hate, and the T is your pronominal affix, first common singular. So it's just your cow perfect, first common singular from sana or sane. And notice, as we look at this verse, he said he wants to esteem all of God's precepts, that they are right. But at the same time, he wants to reject very strongly everything that is false and evil. It is interesting, again, where in the New Testament we're to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good, which has to do with what the Lord has taught and commanded. And so we're to esteem His precepts more than pure gold. And so as we go through this text, it's a beautiful text using the ayin, in this acrostic, each verse beginning with the ayin, in which he wants the Lord to know that he has done that which is right, and so he's asked for to be rescued from those that are oppressing him. He wants the Lord to be a surety for him, so that the proud would not oppress him. And he's been waiting for the Lord's salvation. His eyes are even failing from the long and intensive wait. He wants the word of the Lord, which is always right, to be fulfilled and bringing his salvation. But at the same time, he wants to be dealt with in mercy, and he wants to be taught God's permanent statutes. He wants the Lord to give him understanding so that he can understand the Lord's testimonies and know them intimately. And as for those that would make void the law of the Lord and would break it, the Lord's teaching or the Lord's Torah, he warns of a time of judgment that the Lord would bring. And he wants the Lord to know that he loves his commandments even above gold or above silver. And hence he esteems all of them to be right, and he rejects that which is wrong, that which is a false way. And this is, should be our heart as believers in Jesus Christ. As we look at the New Testament, again, we're to love the word of the Lord. We're to want to know him. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And our goal in life should be to fulfill the Lord's calling for our lives by keeping his word and by wanting to fulfill it and by valuing it above all money, all gold, or all precious silver or gold, even the refined gold. We're to value the word of God above all of that in our lives.